grand, beautiful end in a major key, that moment when everyone pauses and there's a silence. Out of that silence came a still, small voice that said, "Wow." Listen. I think he gave permission or expression to what everyone was feeling. The president of the Handel Haydn Orchestra Society said this: "The audience is just rapt and quiet, and somewhere in the back comes this wow. It was perfect," he said. We all kind of felt that way too, but because we were grown-ups, we didn't say it. David Sneed. Isn't that the way sometimes? Whether it's because we're grown-ups, or because we feel guilty, or because we're afraid, or because we have some other baggage we carry with us in our lives, when something happens that is so obvious and so wonderful that it demands we simply say, "Wow," we cannot. That would be risking too much to let that feeling into our lives. It would be risking too much to be honest and admit that something spectacular has just been given to us, something for which we can do nothing in return but only receive. To say wow is to give away too much power to that gift. Beautiful part of this story is, too, that Ronan is an autistic little boy. 9 years old, he is nonverbal. He loves music, but you can't really have a conversation with him. And yet he found the words, or the word, to express what needed to be expressed at that moment in time. Wow. It is so hard when we're confronted with something so beautiful and so true to grasp. It's obvious, it's there right in front of us, but whether we feel we don't deserve it or whether we feel it's too complicated, we just keep it outside. Now, I know everything isn't obvious. There's lots of complexity, there are lots of grays, there are lots of darks in this world. Mother's Day is one of those things. Now, in preparing for Mother's Day, there are a lot of articles warning ministers to stay away from it. Do not mention anything about Mother's Day because it is so complicated. There are so many who would want to be mothers but cannot be. There are many who never want to be mothers. There are those who have lost their mothers. There are those who are adopted. There are those who have complex and difficult relationships with their mothers. And there are mothers who do not feel competent, do not feel adequate, do not feel that they have done a very good job of being mothers. It's a complicated world. There are those who feel like, yes, I'm proud of being a mother, but that's not just who I am. Like the person who said, look, I may live into my 80s, which means a quarter of my life will be spent doing mothering. There's another part of me. I know, I hear the whispers. Yeah, it never ends. It's complicated. And yet we take a risk here. We celebrate everyone who touches someone in such a way that their life grows through that contact, through that relationship that is bringing life into this world. It's worth celebrating. You know, it's good at times when life is so gray and life is so difficult that you begin with what is clear and what is obvious. Use that as a foundation to work your way into those insecure places, those valleys of the shadows. Jesus presents us with such a foundation, such an obvious place to begin and establish ourselves and live from. But why it was so hard for those around him to grasp, it still is. We still push it away. He was walking in the Portico of Solomon, which was a part of the temple. It might have provided protection against the December winds during that season of Hanukkah. And he was teaching again, as he usually did, and some religious authorities came up to him impatiently asking, will you keep us in suspense? Tell us now, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not? You can hear him sigh. I have told you, but you do not believe. I have told you, but you do not listen. I have shown you, but you do not believe. I have shown you, but you do not listen. Why is it so hard to grasp that you are loved? He says, my sheep follow me. That's one thing about sheep. They are given a bad rap. I've talked about this before. They're really not that dumb as animals. It's just their story has been told from the perspective of cattle farmers. And sheep are not cattle. Cattle have to be driven. And so the cattle farmers who try to drive sheep discover they can't do that. The sheep just run away and run behind them. Sheep are led. You watch shepherds working, whether it be in the Middle East or here in Canada, they follow. Now, that is not such a dumb thing. You know, if you are following someone in front of you, the person that you trust with your life, that's a worthy activity. It's even an intelligent one, because if you watch that person go ahead of you, then you know that way is safe. If a lion happens to overcome them, well, you know that's not safe, and you kind of back off and head in the other direction. Sheep are those who have entered into relationship and follow to life. Jesus invites those around him. He invites us still. Do you not see what I'm doing? Do you not know who I am? Will you not grasp the obvious and be loved? But we don't. You only have to read our headlines. You only have to listen to the news feeds to understand that over and over again we choose not to be loved. We choose some other way to go forward into this world. We're following other wisdom, which is not wisdom. We follow death and destruction. We follow division. We follow all those things which are so obviously not the way to go. And God relentlessly comes again. In this story, Jesus, immediately before chapter 9 in John, has that wonderful story of the healing of the man born blind. The fellow was just sitting there minding his own business, and Jesus comes along and heals him. And the rest of chapter 9 is spent this guy trying to find out who healed him and what's he about. And the Pharisees trying to counter that by saying, look, that person who healed you, he's a sinner. Don't listen to him. And that man finally saying, look, you tell me he's a sinner. I don't know about that. One thing I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Sometimes, grasping the obvious is life-changing. And it's beautiful to see it happen. I don't know if you know Jean Vanier, or he died this week. We as Canadians can be justifiably proud of this one of our native sons who belongs to the world and belongs to the ages now. I had the great blessing of meeting Jean Vanier at my church in Hamilton. There, that church was very close to a large house in the east part of Hamilton. And I became associated with that L'Arche house. I became part of the board of L'Arche, and I would go there in the evenings and watch this beautiful thing take place as people came out of institutions and came into a relationship and became human again. That's one of Jean Vanier's famous books. It's entitled Becoming Human. Vanier came to Hamilton for the Festival of Christianity about 1995, and all the L'Arche communities in central and southern Ontario gathered at my church and had a big dinner with Jean Vanier, and I fortunately was invited to that dinner. Interesting, I walked in. Now, Ryerson United Church was a teetotaling church. We were a good Methodist temperance church, and on our books was the statute that no wine should ever cross our threshold. Well, I crossed the threshold into the gym and there was wine all over the place among the L'Arche communities. But none of us had the heart to tell Jean Vanier that he couldn't have wine there. I was introduced to him, and he is a giant of a man. He was somewhere north of 6'6". I reached out my hand, and he took my hand in both of his, and it was like putting your hand in two catcher's mitts. So warm and soft, I couldn't believe it. And he had such a beautiful expression on his face. Just grateful to be there. During the presentation, and he spoke to the group, I sat in and listened. He was showing slides from L'Arche communities all over the world, Christian L'Arche communities and Hindu L'Arche communities. And almost all the slides were of people washing dishes. It was beautiful to see. He turned to me as he was showing yet another slide, and he realized he was kind of being repetitive, and he looked at me and he said, do you have an automatic dishwasher in your house? And I said, I do. He said, that's too bad. Because washing dishes in a L'Arche home is a community event. Everyone gathers, everyone takes part, everyone has a job, whether it's wiping slowly one dish the whole time, or putting your elbows in that dishwasher and scouring away. But everyone laughs and talks and knows they're accomplishing something together. And that's what L'Arche is, living and sharing and bringing each of your gifts to serve the other. It was a major determination of Jean Vanier in 1964 when he invited these two mentally challenged men to live in his home in Trolley-Boy. He had never done anything like that before, but he knew something about what their life would be like together. In that time, there was a general conception that you bring folks like that and you would serve them, but he knew that if this was going to be community, it would have to be on the basis of Jesus Christ. It would have to be on the basis that he would honor their service to him. Only as he himself was vulnerable, only as he himself was imperfect and in need of another in his life, would he know genuine relationship with these beloved children of God. He said this, tenderness is the highest form of spiritual maturity. Grasp that if you can. Tenderness is the highest form of spiritual maturity. Now, Jean Vanier had a degree in philosophy, a PhD. He taught ethics at a university in Canada before he went to France on a sabbatical and then began L'Arche. But for all his sophistication as a thinker, he knew the greatest sophistication was in tenderness, in loving and being loved. It seems simple, doesn't it? It seems obvious, and yet we do not grasp it. As he turned 90 last September, many people came up to him, the press, of course, always interested in these kind of titles and things. They asked him over and over again, what would you do? Do you think the Pope will make you a saint when you die? He wanted none of that. He said this, as soon as you say people are saintly, you're putting them on a pedestal and saying you can't do it. Saints are those people we kind of isolate and say, well, they did that, no one else can ever do what they did. And Jean Vanier, that wasn't him. He said, but we are all called to work together and love each other, and we don't have to be saints to do that. He also said with a smile on his face, anyone who knows me knows I'm not saintly. He always worked from the place of his imperfection and vulnerability, from his need for others in this life, because he could not do it on his own. He says all he wanted to do in his life was to be a friend of Jesus and to live out of that love. Now, I'm still working on grasping the obvious. It's hard to say yes to the love of God in Jesus Christ. It is too enormous. This love, which is for everyone and which calls you to become like a child, to say yes to it, to abandon any pretensions of deserving it or somehow being worthy of it, to only pause for a moment at its offer and say, wow, wow. I invite you to allow yourself the freedom of saying wow and grasping the obvious. Amen.